Breaks every chain, breaks every chain. Yes, he breaks every chain, breaks every chain, breaks every chain. Oh, that wonderful power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we come, in the name of Jesus we live. In that name, Lord, through that name is power. Through the blood of Jesus that flows through us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, there's power, Lord. There's power in this building. Oh, God, there's power here to create a world. There's power here, Lord, to speak in and out of existence. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the strength that you flow through your people this day. That within us, Lord, is not us, but something greater than that which is in the world. Something greater than anything the devil can come up with. Oh, God, we're so thankful that it's you, Lord, it's you, Jesus, that lives within us. It's you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we ask your blessing now in your word as we come before you to understand you better and to become more like you. Let it be clarified to us, Father. Demystify. Keep on doing that as you started and have done through your prophet in this age. Lord, we know the Holy Spirit is the prophet of the age now and continuing the work. Demystify your word, Lord. Open up even more the mirror that we may see even clearer who we really are in Jesus, who we really are in you, Lord. Open it up even more for us. I pray, Father God, even the little bits of amnesia that might still be there, drive it away, O God, by your word, by the preaching of the word, drive it far from us. And may we walk in your image and in your perfection, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, here we are. It's 2017. Can you believe it? Praise the Lord. We're getting closer, aren't we? How many's getting younger every day? You know, you're not getting younger every day. Yes, I am. You're not getting any younger, they say. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. How many realizes we're just getting younger every day? We're getting closer to our youth. Praise the Lord. I would like you to open your Bibles, and we'll be reading from Exodus 15 and the 26th verse. Exodus 15, 26. Praise the Lord. God's word is precious. Amen. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. I really love this because we're reading out of the Old Testament, so it puts a little fear on some people because, you know, we're Christians and we're no longer part of the Old Testament. But one thing God never took away was the desire he has for us to be able to hear his voice. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's really the key. Everything else that follows it really will just happen automatically if you can hear his voice. Amen. If you diligently hear and pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, not what's right in your sight. That's a problem. Lots of people think, well, I feel it's okay. Well, is it right in God's sight? That's what you need to find out. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. There's a story of Smith Wigglesworth. You probably remember hearing about him, the old British evangelist and Bible scholar, or he wasn't a scholar, but he was a Bible teacher and also a great healing ministry. He one time was on a train, and I guess there was a woman and her daughter who were very, very sick. I don't know what they had, but they were very sick from something, and they were really speaking about it. And he said, you know, he had his Bible in his bag, so he goes, you know, look, I've got something in this bag that will cure every single known disease in the world. He says, what I have here, it has never failed once. And so he's talking about it, and then they started saying, well, we want to know more about it. What do you got? You know, they were expecting some kind of remedy, some kind of, you know, flask full of some kind of elixir that was going to somehow miraculously heal them if they drank it or applied it. And so he says, this is what it is. And he pulls out the Bible. Hallelujah. And he pulls it out and he opens it up to Exodus 15, what we just read. And he says, the Bible says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. He says, it works every time. I love that, don't you? I mean, the Bible is filled with promises, and not only promises, but accounts of those promises being fulfilled of God healing people. And not always healing, you know, the most religious, the most believing. Sometimes the most unbelieving people got the best results. In the sense of not unbelieving, but they weren't considered believers. They were considered of the world. They were not part of Israel's commonwealth, but they got delivered. These different people that we read about in the Bible were healed and delivered by God. Because what happened was, they had no other option. You know, it takes a while sometimes for God to strip away our options. And when they had no other options, they would do crazy things like Naaman. You know, he dipped himself 7 times in the river. In fact, when he came to the river and realized that's what he was being told to do, and wasn't being given an audience with this so-called prophet guy, he just said, forget it. If he doesn't want to meet with me, what am I, chopped liver? I'm just going to leave. I'm not doing this. And his servant convinced him, you're going to leave anyway. You might as well dip 7 times. What do you got to lose? You'll be cleaner when you leave. So the guy dips 7 times and he comes up healed. And what it is even though we don't know what his attitude was, it was just like, fine, I'll do it. There had to be a small inkling of faith to keep him from absolutely saying, no way, forget it, I'm leaving. And because of that little faith, so tiny, in the midst of all the cloudiness of his verbal garbage coming out of his mouth, that little tiny faith got him healed. We think it's going to take so much, saints. We come up really short, just not as short as Naaman probably, not as short as some other people, but we come up short too. But God doesn't require us to present to him a box made of gold wrapped in a bow of silver filled with faith that this is okay, Lord, I'm ready for my healing. He just wants us to strip down everything and finally do it. Amen. Just believe it. Amen. What do you have to lose? Believe it. Amen. Take God at his word. Brother Branham said he just was so shocked that sometimes it was the unbelievers and the Christians who were coming up in the healing lines getting healed quicker than the believers. So, saints, it's something that somehow we got a mental block going on here that we have to get rid of, amen? I was just reading, I have printed this out because I really liked it, the healings of Jesus, amen? The miracles of Jesus, and there's a whole bunch here, 20 or so, where it talks about permanent disabilities are healed, illnesses and injuries are healed, evil spirits are removed, the dead are raised to life, other miracles. It's really cool, I love this. Jesus heals a mute man. He heals a deaf and a dumb man. He heals a crippled woman's spine. He heals a lame man at Bethesda Pool. Jesus heals a paralytic man. Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. Blind. All kinds of healings. Many times it says, and there were crowds that came to him and he healed them. Amen. Just over and over again. These are specific. He heals a blind man, another blind man, 2 blind men, another time 2 blind men. I love the fact that's one of the biggest things he did was bring healing to blind people. Amen? Hallelujah. Lepers. Somebody with a disease called dropsy. I don't know what it is, but it didn't sound great. So Jesus brought healing to the guy. Jesus heals a woman with an issue of blood. He heals a servant's severed ear. Remember, Peter cut the guy's ear off. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals a centurion's servant. He heals an official's son remotely. He sends out the word. Amen. He heals many sick. So just on and on. This is just amazing. Jesus came to earth and immediately, as soon as the Holy Spirit anointed him, he was out healing people. Healing them, bringing healing to them. And working in concert with that was his message about a kingdom, a rulership coming of God, ruling on the earth, taking over. Hallelujah. You know, because, saints, the fact is, someone's ruling. Someone's ruling right now. You know, There's always somebody in charge. And when Jesus came, there was somebody who was ruling, and it wasn't God like Israel thought. Because why were these people so full of diseases? Now, the religious mindset of the Jewish people was, if somebody got sick, they deserved it. If somebody got hurt, somehow they earned it. You know, it was God punishing. God, you know, God, he has to deal with you. He has to, you know, reprimand you. And this is what's going on. And unfortunately, it comes around believers in the end time. Christians are this way. You see someone else having a problem, well, it must be something they're doing wrong. But even Jesus had to get that removed from his own disciples' minds, because when he was looking at the blind man, remember, who was born blind, how did he become blind? And their answer was, well, maybe it was his parents, maybe it was something he somehow did, I don't know, what does that mean? In another world, another life? They believe in reincarnation, I guess. You know, how did he do it? They were trying to figure this out, and Jesus said, how about if I tell you none of those reasons are correct? Those are the only reasons they were only new. So we're going to talk about Jesus heals you and seven reasons why he heals you. We're going to talk about seven reasons why Jesus heals you. Now, Psalm 103 is, if you ever know this by heart, you should know Psalm 103 by heart, because it's the Christian believer's benefits package. When you become a Christian, when you become a born-again son or daughter of God, you get handed a benefits package. Please accept it. I talked to someone today. I sat down with him. And I said, do you have insurance already? He says, yes. And I said, is it through work? He said, yes. And he told me how much it was. And I said, are you paying for it? He said, no, it comes free. That's pretty nice. He says, yeah, that's part of my benefits package. Some people get that, some people don't. Some people pay a little bit, they share, you know, but everybody, you know, knows what a benefits package is. So we're going to find out what the believer's benefits package is. Amen? Here it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. You know, how many comes to church and you start out physically blessing the Lord? Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? But what you got to do is keep moving until you can get the rest of you doing it. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. You got to get to that point. Why? Because he says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Why does David have to tell his soul not to forget something? Because within our inner makeup, there's so much traffic. And there are so many distractions that we tend to easily forget the benefits package. We start focusing on the problems and we start complaining about the issues and we start missing out on the value of what we have. We have something great. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. How many here sometimes feels like, yes, I know the Lord forgave me of this, that, and the other, but there's some other things I'm still struggling with him forgiving me for. What happened to the word all? How about if you understand that he chose the worst word there, not just a general term of sin, but iniquity means you know to do right, but you did wrong anyway. You played the ignorance card. We're all guilty of that, aren't we? But yet he forgives you of all your knowing iniquities. You can't really do anything outside of God's forgiveness. And notice this, I love this part, who heals all your diseases. Not some, all of them. Nothing will stand before your prayer. Nothing. Nothing can stand before the prayer of God's saints. Nothing. Because God's covenant and his benefits package is going to line up to your prayer, and they're going to line up with each other, and the results have to come. I don't believe that healing is something that God may or may not do. Healing is something God has already done. You may or may not believe that. Let's not put it on God. Why won't you heal me, Lord? Why won't you accept it? We need to turn this around so we can get in line and line up and get aligned with God's program. He's already healed you. The whole entire Bible is filled with not only the promises, but the accounts of healings after healings after healings, demonstrating God's wholehearted desire that his children be benefited with the healing power that he has. It's ready and available at any moment. Hallelujah. You know, you have to put your faith on a line where you come to a place where you put a stake down and say, this is my day, this is my message, I'm being healed today. This is my hour for deliverance. I'm being set free right now. This is it for me. You have to come to that place. If you come to church or you come to call the pastor or you talk to somebody and you're saying, I hope it happens today, you're not coming the right way. When people came to Jesus, when they were lucky enough, fortunate enough to find him, oh, right away they wanted results. That's how you got to be. You have to have it. Today, you have to believe in it today. There's more you can read on that. Benefits package is very powerful. We just read the first three verses of it. But let's kind of talk about a few other things here that I want to deal with before we get into the seven reasons. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 to understand, because sometimes I believe Satan's goal is always that if he could just put a little bit of a weakness in the armor, right? If he can just put a little bit of an out, a little bit of a place where maybe it doesn't quite apply everywhere. See, if God says he's the one, I'm the one who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your sicknesses or illness, no matter what it is, diseases, then the word all means all. It doesn't mean partial. And it doesn't mean when you figure out your life and straighten out some things, you know, then it can start happening. It means all. If he can heal the weakest sinner, practically weakest believer, but sinner too, he can heal you and me. Amen? So, because he's already done it, it's not a question. So here we are in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Where we read these words, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So think of the difference there. Sickness could be something that's not connected to the demon realm. You know, you could have a sickness that has nothing to do with some kind of demon power. Amen? You might say, well, Brother Elijah, we're believers. We don't have demons messing with us. Oh, yeah, we do. You better believe it. Just the common cold is a demon. Anything germ-related is a demon. You know? And I'll give you a picture of it, and you'll probably understand it better. So everybody says, well, you know, the little snotty-nosed kid touched the handle, then I touched the handle, then I touched my face, and now I have a cold. Well, there's probably some truth to that. But what it is those particles of germs or whatever it is human tissue that you pick up or even maybe just floating through the air, it's almost like a carpet ride for a demon. You sit on that thing and float right into your back of your throat and start multi-producing, mass-producing. That's how it works. Cancer is a demon. We know this. Tuberculosis is a demon. You can go through those. So those are diseases. Demons cause dis-ease, right? They disturb the balance of your body and bring some kind of disease. A sickness could be a worn-out limb. You know, yeah. If you have something like carpal tunnel, that's not a demon. That simply means you probably were on your computer a lot or whatever it is, and something happened. You wore out a limb. From jogging too much. Is that possible? I guess so. People have that problem. So there's sicknesses and then there's diseases. There's a difference. You could have something going on in your body that's genetic and how it happened, you know, things got confused, messed up, whatever, and that's caused a sickness in your life and there's no demon involved at all. And, you know, one of the things that Brother Branham did that taught him the difference was when he would hold their hands, he would hold their hand, and they were sick, but he wouldn't see any vibrations or feel any vibrations. In other words, there was no life form in them causing that disease. It was some other reason. If you see a blind man that has no eyeballs, it's not a demon. But a blind man has perfectly good eyes, they can't see, there could be a demon in there, like glaucoma or whatever. So there's just different things you got to study and understand. But Jesus here makes it pretty clear he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Hallelujah. And then Matthew 12:15. I want to just really paint a picture here for you of how all-inclusive the healing is, the benefits package is. Matthew 12:15, where we read, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So he doesn't just go into just the cases where you see he goes into the pool of Bethesda. You know, he brings one man out, heals one man, and leaves the rest there. That does happen. But there's other times when he brings healing to everybody. So I wouldn't just negate it down to just a narrow thing when God can do anything he wants. Can you say amen? How many believes that? He can heal as many as he wants to. So let's talk about the seven reasons. The first reason, number one, and if you're jotting it down, you can write this down. Otherwise, I'm going to give you some scriptures. We'll read some of them. We can't read all of them. We don't have time to do that. But the number one reason that he heals you is because Christ is full of compassion. He is the very heart of God. He's the very expression of the love of God. God loves you. That's why he heals you. He doesn't want you in pain. He doesn't love to see you sit there and suffer. He loves you. And though you may go through it and it will serve a purpose, but he wants to bring you out of it. It should never be the thing that takes you down, right? Hallelujah. It should never be the thing that destroys you because he has a plan to use it, but ultimately the healing comes behind it. And anytime we become sick or ill or have one of those, a physical or even a mental challenge, it's all a challenge to open a door and an opportunity for God to express who he is. He's your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. So in order to be that, there's going to be situations where he's going to need to step into your life and bring you healing. And that's okay. You should agree with it and understand it and embrace it as part of a partnership. You know, you might get sick, but he becomes the healer. That's why when you came to this world, you came in as a sinner so that he could be a savior. So see, your purpose, your issues or your problems becomes his purpose. Mark 1:40, I love that one there because it's one of the many places where it says this, but it says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus moved with compassion. Don't you love that? The first reaction Jesus has is not, ooh, back off, leper. Don't get too close to me. That's the normal reaction of Israelite people. And they learned it from the leaders, from the priests. Stay away from those guys. They're not clean. You come to me when you're clean. Go get cleaned up and then come to me. Aren't you glad that we get to go to Jesus as lepers and get ourselves cleaned up? And it's a very powerful thing. If you are willing, because they have to, if you have leprosy, it's one of those things where it's hard to find anyone willing. Hardly anyone's willing to give you food or the necessary things of life. So if you're willing, make me clean. Notice, I love the way he says it. You can make me clean. He knew this. So Jesus is, his compassion is triggered by that faith. This man has nowhere else to go. He's fully focused on him. I've given up on any other options. There's no one else who will help me. I know you can make me clean. That's faith. That's going to trigger compassion. And the compassion comes because here's someone with such an amazing faith, but so suffering. How can I let that person continue on suffering? So God's looking for that in you. He's looking for that in us. That's the proper approach. So Jesus, I love his words, right? Jesus was moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him. Think about it. That's not supposed to happen. Lepers are supposed to cry out because you can't always tell they're lepers. They wore rags everywhere and they look like somebody else maybe. But they would say, you know, don't touch me, beware, stay back. I've got leprosy. And that was their job. And here's a guy who's speaking to Jesus about it. And the Lord Jesus does an amazing thing. He reaches out and touches the guy. It was assumed that leprosy was contagious this way. So he reaches out and touches the guy. Shows kind of a lot of faith on Jesus' part, right? And he touches the guy, and I love this, and he says to him, I am willing. So he solved that little issue, right? Because how many here sometimes struggles with, we know God is able, but we wonder if he's willing. Like, I know you're able to heal me, Lord, but are you willing to do it? I know you're able to deliver me, but are you willing to do it? And he will touch you in your life and say, I am willing. At the same time, he's making contact with you. I'm willing. I'm willing. Faith connected with faith. Two omnipotents met. The miraculous had to take place. You can't stop it from happening. Amen. And Jesus is here tonight to manifest compassion on every single one of us. But he just needs a little bit of faith. How many believes it really in your heart? He can heal me. I know he can heal me. I don't doubt that one bit. I struggle with is he willing or not? Because maybe there's something I need to fix. Maybe I did something wrong. You know, I can come up with a list right now pretty quick. That's how we think. So we deal with a willing issue. But Jesus is here right now by the Holy Spirit, can reach down and touch you right now, and you be completely delivered from anything you want to be delivered from. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Because you already believe it, and it's true. So the Bible is very clear there that he just would react to the people around him, the many multitudes that he brought healing to, because compassion gripped his heart. Hallelujah. That's one reason. Another reason, healing belongs to God's children. It belongs to us. By Jesus' own words, his own confession, the bread, the children's bread, is their healing. So in other words, it's our bread. It belongs to us. It's to give us sustenance and continuation in life and help us to go forward and be healthy. And even the expression that we have from the Bible, I would above all things that you would be healthy and whole in body and spirit and soul. Amen. How many understand? That's the will of the Holy Spirit. The will of Christ is that you be healthy in every way. Every way. So if you become in dis-ease, then God has a plan to get you out of that and bring you back into order and into balance. Amen. So I love that. Healing belongs to the children, and you know the whole story there, so we don't need to read that, but that's Mark chapter 7, where the Syrophoenician woman was saying, don't the little doggy puppy dogs get even the crumbs from the children, master's children's table? You know, she made herself real little, and then Jesus said, go home, your daughter's healed. Love that stuff. Healing belongs to his children. How many here can say, I'm a child of God? I know I'm a child of God. And so guess what? Healing is yours. It's yours. Praise the Lord. You really don't have to go get it. You don't have to go to Walgreens and pull out your card and put in your phone number to get the magic 500 points, whatever they do. You have healing already in your possession. It's within you. It's within your brother, your sister, next to you. It's all around us. We are surrounded by God. We are surrounded by angels. We're surrounded by his presence. We're surrounded by healing all the time. The water is being disturbed all the time. Healing is always available. You hold it within your own bosom. You have healing within yourself. Hallelujah. Jesus said this, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to raise it up again. And Brother Branham picked that up and says, now as a believer with that same spirit in you that was in Jesus Christ, the same spirit that raised him up shall also quicken your mortal bodies, make alive. So therefore, he said, you have power to lay down your lives and you have power to raise yourself up again. That's powerful stuff. Healing belongs to the children. Number three, healing, Christ heals you because it brings glory to his Father. There are many scriptures that says when Jesus healed the multitudes, then the people began to glorify God. I mean, he would do a certain miracle that would be talked about specifically, and the people would marvel and glorify God. And there's a scripture that I really love. When Jesus did some particular things that really showed God's power, the people began to glorify God and to say, thank God, praise God, he has now brought power among mankind. You know, when they looked at Jesus, they weren't looking at him as being somehow God manifested in flesh, and we need to worship this guy. They were looking at the fact that here was a human being, but he was demonstrating how God could be in a human being. To them, they began to understand that if God was doing this with one man, then he was planning on doing it with all. That's how they looked at it. Somehow we lost that, but God took a prophet in our day, and humble little guy out of Kentucky, and showed us again, this is what I can do, if you're willing. Question isn't, is he willing? The question is, are you willing? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it brings glory to the Father, and that's Matthew 15, 30 through 31. Number four, it fulfills God's promises. Because if it doesn't, it makes him a liar. He cannot make brash statements and not back it up with action, with accomplishment, with fulfillment. If God is promising to do things, then it must bring it to pass. Amen. I want to just read this one because it's very powerful. Matthew 8, 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. So it says here, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Scripture being fulfilled. Promises happening. Hallelujah. And we are living in a promise-fulfilling day. We are living in a day when all kinds of scriptures are converging on the earth and vortexing on us as God's children. It's exciting, isn't it? Why would God do so much and demonstrate so much through Brother Branham to create a healing revival? And now we have all kinds of mimics of that. But why would God do so much and capture so much attention if his intention was not to just show off, but God's intention was to demonstrate what he was planning on doing, continuing in and among his people? It has to be that, saints. It's for all of us. It's for us. It's to do all these things. It's because he has compassion. It's because it belongs to us. It's because it glorifies God. And it's because he promised that this would happen. When Jesus left the scene, that didn't end. The healing kept on going. There was healing among the early church. Incredible things were happening. Hallelujah. We'll get into that a little bit more, but it just shows God's desire. Continue on. If you believe in me, the works that I do, you're going to do also, and even do greater works. We got to get the works first. Then we can do greater works. Amen? But we're getting that. Now, it fulfills God's promises. It confirms Christ's own words. That's number five. It actually confirms his own words. It vindicates who Jesus is. He said this. He said, now you may be having a problem believing in me, but believe in my works. If my works are the Heavenly Father's works, you know, he brought healing and miracles and deliverance all through the Old Testament and all especially among the community of Israel. If God did that for all those 2,000 years, and now I'm doing it, believe me, because of the works. And his word, my word, he was speaking his word and speaking of the kingdom and demonstrating it, and it's his word. That's why when we read Jesus' words, it is just as much scripture as all the rest of the Bible. In fact, there is a level of it that's much higher because he himself said, you have said, or it has been said, thou shalt not kill. It's almost said in such a way that it kind of takes away from the fact that we know God's the one that said that. But Jesus states it in a way that he's going to leverage it. He's going to say something a little bit beyond that. So it has been said, thou shalt not kill. But I say to you, hallelujah. So he's elevating that to a higher position because there were other nations in the world who caught on to some of the basic rules of life. I mean, Amurabi or whatever the guy's name was, he had his whole code of laws. And in there it has things like don't murder, you know, don't take another man's wife. I mean, it's all listed there. And this is some stuff that was written maybe even a little before Moses. This is what shocks people. They think, oh, well, what Moses heard, he just got it from Semiramis or whoever this guy was. That's not how it works. It's not that way. God's program had been told for many, many years from the time of Cain and Abel all the way through time. But what God was doing was he miraculously was writing it down in a concise way. All these things you already know is going to become a law for us. You're going to live by this. What they missed was the writing on the concrete, on the rock, became law to them, and they stopped hearing the voice of God. See, this is why, you know, you heard voice of God recordings, right? But this is why, you know, they send out all the books, and I'm okay with pamphlets, I'm okay with books, but books don't save people. The voice does. So I'm a firm believer that you can't do away with the voice. That's what did it for me. That's what changed my life. You can't do away with the voice. That's why you still need preaching. Because there's something about taking up God's word and it gets dispensed by a voice. Then the hearing capability of the child of God goes beyond hearing a man's voice or reading some words. And now they're hearing God's very voice speaking into their life. Like, wow, God is speaking to me. And they repent and come to the Lord. When you witness to somebody, it does the same thing. So we can never do away with the voice. And healing is a part of the voice as well. Hallelujah. So it fulfills God's promises. It confirms Jesus' own words. And you can read that in John 10, 37 through 38. And then number 6, it shows the power of his own blood. Hallelujah. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. There is healing in the blood of the Lamb. There is deliverance that can come through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And that's number 6. And you can read that in Isaiah 53 and all through the New Testament. By his stripes we are healed. Those wounds that drew blood out of his body and was pulling the very life source out of him was making a way to pour life source into you and me. By his stripes we are healed. The very power shows the power in his blood. Number 7, I love this one. This is putting the nail on the coffin. Clinch it down. It is to healing through Christ reiterates Satan's defeat at Calvary. It just keeps telling over and over. Every time someone's healed, it just recasts the story of the greatest defeat that ever took place. Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, was stripped of all his power at the cross. Can you say amen? The cross was a place where those who were constantly and had for continually been under the dominion and the power of the devil had now been set free through Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? That's 1 John 3:8. Now, Acts chapter 10, 37. Let's read that because now we moved into the New Testament. We moved into the realm of the church, what's happening with the church of the Lord God Almighty. And we read verse 37, 38 of Acts chapter 10. And it says there that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So I want to just cap on that Satan is involved in sickness. Job became very sick, but notice, Satan would say, it's amazing how the devil tries to trip up God. You know, he says, if you would touch him, You know, if you would do this, and then God would turn it around and say, okay, I'm going to let you go ahead and touch him. God can't bring sickness on any one of us. He can only create. But the devil can pervert. He can take perfectly ordered creation and twist it up. He can take a perfectly healthy body and bring sickness to it. See, so God can remove barriers. He can remove things that block the devil from having access and give the devil access. And how many's okay with that? How many children of God are like, Lord, if that's what you need to do in my life, you have a plan, you have a program, then that's fine. Right? We never pray that way. You don't pray, Lord, lead me into tests and trials. You pray the opposite. You say, Lord, I'm not some proud, boastful person that I can defeat the devil on any ground. I'm not going around living my life like that. So lead me not into tests and trials and temptations. But if you do, deliver me from the enemy. Amen? So that's the way that whole prayer goes. If I am in that situation, give me victory, Lord. Deliver the enemy into my hands. So what we read here in this scripture is that sickness is an oppression. Illness, disease, emotional, mental, spiritual, whatever it might be, exhaustion, tiredness, some of these things are actually Satan's oppression on the children of God. But notice what it says here. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. All. Jesus is still in the business, and even more so on a greater scale, because he can do this around the world in instantaneous moments. He can heal 100,000 people all in 1 second, and probably has done that. He can do this all like this because he's not a one-man ministry show anymore. He's in heavenly places, but the Holy Spirit is moving among the people. So if you can understand it, he's still in the business of healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Now, some people, you know, love and fashion their whole lives around some demon in their life, some devil in their life, demon, whatever it is. Their whole lifestyle, everything's fashioned around, got to have this thing, you know? I try to give you some examples, but to try to help us, you know, it may be something else where, you know, we have either a bad habit or a bad way that we react to stuff in life, and we keep doing the same thing over and over. But we, you know, we live this way. I've heard sometimes people say, well, that's just my nature, it's the way I am, and I'm not changing. Well, that's sad, because you can't come to Calvary and expect not to be changed. You know, it's not going to happen. Because if that happens, you didn't get to Calvary. That's all there is to it. You only saw it from afar off. But anyone standing near the cross was affected by it, even pounding their chest and saying, this must be the Son of God. You know, so you've got to realize that's what's happening. But sometimes people have in their lives some kind of a hang-up, you know, everybody's against me, or some kind of a bad habit that they wish they could get rid of, and they don't. But then there are people who have a bad habit, but they don't think it's a bad habit. They think it's okay. This is the difference. Somebody could be doing something and call himself a Christian and never feel bad about it, because to them it's not an oppression. And another person may have a thing they keep doing and wish they could quit, because to them it's an oppression. They hate it. I wish this was out of my life. I don't want this in my life. It's really bugging me. Why? It's an oppression. It's a good thing. It's good that you are experiencing it as an oppression, because for whatever reason, this other type of class of person, remember, unbelievers make believers among believers, for whatever reason, they're comfortable with this demon. You know how they say in the world, he had to face his demons? Yeah, but some people don't face their demons because they're living with them. They're enjoying it. And if you point a finger at them, they'll tell you, they'll use scripture to try and blow you away. Oh, the Bible says judge not. Well, if that's how you want to live, I don't need to judge you. You've judged yourself. I don't have to judge you. You're already judged. There's nothing I can do. But they're enjoying living in this realm with the very thing that oppresses the other person. The girl that says, hey, I'm a Christian and I can wear my miniskirt and dance around, walk around, like whatever. She has to come to that realization that that is wrong. She may be truly ignorant of it and may be deceived of it, and God can bring her around. But if that person is being told, look in the Word, and they're just totally defending it, there could be just an absolute devil going on there thing to trip up sons of God. Amen? So that person is comfortable with the demons, but that those demons are actually oppressing sons of God. Pretty amazing, right? So I want to help you and help all of us. We need to clear this up in our minds that, you know, some of these things in our lives that we beat ourselves up over. Remember, you're the one being oppressed. You're the one being oppressed. But being oppressed means you're a candidate for healing. Yeah, you get to have freedom from it. You need to just say, I'm going to be free from this. I don't care. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to happen. I'm not going to be reacting this way after a while, because other things I used to do, react, I don't do anymore, thank God. So I know this is going to be over. I'm not going to be manifesting these things in my life, these old habits, whatever it is, because God's going to deliver me from it, because they oppress me, and it's the devil, and I don't want it in my life. It's going to go. So it's going to be in his time. Hallelujah. And I love that. And then there's this other passage in Acts 19. I just want to see why I put that there. Oh, 1 John, yeah, that's pretty powerful too. We're going to run out of time. So let's just go to Acts 19. All right, 1 John. I can't get around it, guys. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. This goes back to the seventh reason for you being healed is to smack the devil in the face. Do you like me saying it that way a little bit better? As long as you're sick, God's getting smacked in the face. But when you're healed, the devil gets one. So how many is on God's side and wants to help punch the devil out? Then if don't just sit there and live with your sickness. Realize there's a purpose behind it, to give the devil a big fat headache. He deserves it. You know, if your sins get dumped on him, let your sickness get dumped on him too. Now it says in 1 John 3, 8, I just can't avoid not reading it, so I got to read it. He who sins is of the devil. See, now that scares a lot of people right there. They can't read the scripture and keep going forward. But how many is thankful for a vindicated message in this end time that clarified sin is unbelief? The Bible very clearly says, he who knows the truth but disbelieves it is a sinner. That's sin. So he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I love the rest of that. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, or God's seed gene, remains in the believer. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You can make mistakes. You can have old habits. But disbelieving at this point is impossible, because the seed gene of faith has been birthed in you, and all that emanates back to God is, I believe, I believe, I believe. I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free. Hallelujah. So now we'll go to this Acts chapter 19. I want you to read this last one we'll read. It will wrap it up. Now it's a question of where was I when I was reading this? Verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. You know, I like this, don't you? Because as you're reading the Bible, you see patterns of what God does. But raising an axe head out of water, that's really unusual. And as you go through Old Testament, you see these weird things that maybe he does a little bit out of the blue. The rest, you know, they had a whole system for healing and deliverance, and God constantly did those things. But every now and then you see something pop up that was a little bit strange, but it was God. Right? Like, moon, stand still, sun, stand still. That's like, where did he get that from? Don't think for 1 minute that Joshua just was this brilliant guy that thought of something amazingly brilliant. It was a need, and there was no other way to seem to solve it. I believe it was the Holy Spirit directly working through him, because any man in his right mind wouldn't even have tried that trick. But he did it. So these are unusual. So here we see in the early church, it's unusual because saints, miracles were going on all the time. Stuff was happening all the time that was pretty similar, pretty regular. Healings were happening all the time, raising people from the dead. Stuff was going on all the time. Remember, there's a scripture that says, as Peter walked, they laid people in his pathway because they knew even his shadow was so anointed it could heal them. Do you realize your shadow is anointed? Hallelujah. You carry an ambiance around you. You have an aura, an atmosphere of healing all around you. I've had people say that to me. Are you a Christian? I say, yeah. How do you know? Oh, I don't know. I could tell you're a spiritual person because I just the aura around you. Turns out that they're not Christians at all. They're just this super spiritual person who picks up. So I'm like, yep, you're right. You know, it's so funny. People say, you got like blue and purple. I'm like, cool, awesome. You should see my other colors. You know, we as Christians go, oh, I don't want to talk. That's a creep right over there. No, you don't do that. Let people are recognizing something. They may be in another world, but hey, they know there's something about you that you've been with Jesus. And so that's all right. You know, that's going to happen. But I love this. And this continued, And now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs, or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I love it, don't you? Aprons were probably what he wore when he worked on tents, because the tents require the needlework, so he probably had this leather apron or whatever it was, and probably he would say, yeah, hey, Bartholomew, when you're heading over to that city, take one of my aprons with you and call the sick together and just have them touch it. That's all you got to do. I mean, stuff was going on like this. Maybe even he wasn't even involved. People just knew it. They would steal an apron and go run to somewhere and bring healing to somebody and bring it back. Handkerchiefs, any kind of cloth. There's a story in the early church, and I think it was Ignatius. He wore sackcloth is what he wore, and they would take a thread off of the sackcloth and they would put it around the finger or toe of a sick person, and within hours they were up and healed. That's exciting. What were these people thinking? You can read about St. Martin and different ones. They were doing all these things. Well, they had patterns. They saw Paul was getting results. So then Brother Branham comes along, and it's not something weird or unusual to have people sending him kids' clothing, little booties, a little piece of cloth, and he would pray over them. They'd have a stapled tag on it with a name on it, and it would go back to that person. And they would go back and lay it on the sick person, and the sick person got well. Somebody one time took a Bible and just laid it on a sick person, and that sick person got well. And they had it open to Acts chapter 19. Now, I keep in my Bible here, Acts chapter 19, a small cloth. Some of you are probably familiar with it. This came from one of the sheets from Brother Branham's bed. It might seem a little bit strange to you, but when I'm really not feeling well, I'll use that. So that's available. Amen. That's anointed. And so are you anointed, and so am I anointed. We're anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance and freedom to one another. We're self-sufficient, self-independent body of Jesus Christ. We are able to supply the need to the next member in the body. Can you say praise God? I have in me the ability to supply the need in you. You have in you the ability, the sustenance to supply the need in somebody else. Let's do it. What are we waiting for? Let's continue on letting Jesus do miracles. Let's continue on, as it says in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God did many unusual miracles. Usual ones, but also unusual ones. God did it through the hands of Paul, through your hands, through my hands, through our hands. God can do usual and unusual. It should be usual. It should be common among us. Somebody gets a headache, migraine, it's gone. Toothache's gone. Praise the Lord. When you get a toothache, you go to the dentist, right? I understand. But if I told you that God was a great physician, then I think that covers everything, doesn't it? Doesn't he do dental work? It's part of your benefits package. And guess what? It wasn't cheap, but it was paid for. Isn't that cool? God bless you. Musicians, please come. Let's just sing a couple of songs. I am the Lord who healeth thee. I am your God, your healer. Amen. Hallelujah. So many things that he's wanting, so desiring to do. But I'm praying that through the word tonight, you'll be just as hungry to have it done. Amen. Anybody here, we've talked about it last time, but anybody here could say, Brother Elijah, I believe God is my healer. He'll heal any disease, including whatever I'm dealing with. Anything that gives you dis-ease, right? He'll heal you. And I'm believing, I'm even going to raise my hand, Brother Elijah, to say that tonight, this is the challenge, is tonight that it can happen. Tonight is the day. Today is the time of salvation. Today is my day of deliverance. This day, I'm recognizing this Wednesday night, it might not have even happened. I had an appointment tonight that came up out of the blue, and I didn't know if I could make it here, but out of the blue, the guy called me and said, can we move it to, it was a 5 o'clock one, can we move it to Monday? Hallelujah. So I called my 7 o'clock, and I said, can I move you to 5 o'clock? And he said, sure. Hallelujah. So that's when I said, I'm going to be in church tonight. Am I tired? Am I wore out? Am I, you know, feeling, yes, that's okay. But you know what? I had to be here tonight. You're here tonight. It's an appointment. You're here because God's got a plan for you. Don't miss it. Take a hold of it right now. Fall at his feet and implore him and say, Lord, I know you're able to do this. I know you're going to do this. And Lord, I believe you're able and willing to do it because you've proven it to me. 7 major reasons among many others why you must heal us and set us free emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, relationship, every single way possible. He is your healer. Can you say amen? Will you say that to him? Lord, you are my healer. Hallelujah. As we sing it from the depths of our heart, take it from him. He's speaking to you. I, the Lord, who healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Hallelujah. Send my word and heal your disease. I am your healer. Sing it again. I am the Lord who healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. Sent my word and healed you. Didn't he do that for you? Yes, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. With the music playing and just your heads bowed, I sense someone needs to truly be, just to get the confirmation. You know, I want to say this to you right now. You're healed already. You're healed already tonight. This night, it's manifesting in your life. Confirmation is on its way. Oh, Jesus. Someone here desires someone else in your life that you know is sick and is needing. Your heart's just burdened for them, for their body to be healed, or for their heart and mind to be healed. And I just believe that your love, your faith is not only healing you, but it heals them.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus said, I send my word. He sent it to the Syrophoenician woman, and it went through her, and it went all the way to her daughter. He sent it through the centurion, and it went all the way to his servant. He sends his word through you.
Oh, hallelujah.
It's better than a cloth. It's better. Just let it come through you. And as you're being healed, it'll also bring healing to others. Hallelujah. Let's just sing this one now. Make it a personal prayer. Heal me, O God, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Oh, heal me, O God. As you sing it, he's healing you, and I will be healed. You are the one I praise. You are the one I praise. Stand up as you sing it and declare it. Oh, heal me, oh God.